السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، أصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وقال تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه سيجزون ما كانوا يعملون. صدق الله العظيم. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer and nourisher. May the choicest of his blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread on his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders, brothers in Islam, I welcome all of you all to the second session of the glorious names of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before I begin, I would like to express that I love all of you all for the sake of Almighty Allah. And due to that love, may He unite all of us together in His gardens of Jannah. And may He make this gathering of ours a gathering where the angels shroud us with their wings, the sakina, the tranquility of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon us. And may Almighty Allah make high mention of us in the seven heavens. So in the previous lecture, we discussed about this great science, the science of the names and attributes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just briefly discussed about the science, and then we also discussed about the purpose as to why we need to study this science. As Almighty Allah Himself says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that mankind and jinkind were only created for the worship of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do we worship Allah? Ibadah. How do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we do not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So part of ibadah is getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that recognition, that ilm, that knowledge is only through this science, as we discussed already in the previous session. And then we also discussed the goal behind the session, the final objective, and then the hadith, the famous hadith in regard to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, Inna lillahi 99 asma. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names. And we also discussed about the term ahsaha in it, the few action items which were mentioned in which consists within that term ahsaha, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used. So today, before we actually begin the names of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are still a few more points which I wish to touch and clarify. Number one, primarily being that this science, I wish to highlight again, that this science is the most greatest field of knowledge. Is the most greatest field of knowledge. The reason being, if you were to take any field of knowledge in this world, for example, medicine, engineering, the specimen of study in that field is what makes that field special. For example, I don't mean to offend any engineers around here, but what I'm trying to say is, if when you compare a doctor and an engineer, a doctor is in a higher stand, in a higher rank than an engineer, because the doctor's specimen of study is the human body by itself. Whilst the engineer, on the other hand, metal, concrete, building material, that's what he works with. So If that's how it works in regard to fields of knowledge in this dunya, then what about the divine knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ilm al-shar'i? See, the ilm al-shar'i, the divine knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is anywhere levels above any field of knowledge which exists on the field of, on the face of this earth. And in that divine knowledge, this science that is related to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the highest degree. The reason being that this science is in relationship with the Creator, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the greatest of all beings. This science, what do we study about? We're studying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no doubt, this science has to be the greatest. And like I mentioned in the previous session, it is the fountainhead of all knowledges, of all streams of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Are the people who do not have knowledge and the people who have knowledge on the same level, are they on the same level? In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ.
That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the ranks and the degrees of those who believe and those who have been given knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. And Allah is well aware and well informed of all that you've been doing. So all of these ayat which are highlighting knowledge do not speak about any knowledge which is in relation to this dunya, my dear respected brothers, elders in Islam. The Quran ayat all denote the divine knowledge, العلم الشرعي, knowledge in regard to the Quran and the Sunnah. For that is the only knowledge that is worthy of mention in the Holy Quran. Allah says,
إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء.
That verily, the ones, in reality, the ones who fear Allah are only the ulama, the people who have been given this divine knowledge. For the more they achieve this knowledge, the more they attain this knowledge, the more humble they need to become in front of Allah. The more their hearts need to be filled with taqwa, with khushu, with khudu. These are the true qualities of the real ulama. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve them amongst us. So coming back to the fountain head of all knowledge, that is this science, the science of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For every other knowledge, whether it be the Quran, whether it be the Sunnah, whether it be Sharia, every single thing is linked to the Creator, is linked to this science, to knowing our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the magnitude and the importance of this science. The next point that I wish to touch is in regard to Asma wa Sifat. Asma wa Sifat. See, in the other session, I didn't go into depth into sifat. I just mentioned Asma. That's what we've all heard, the glorious names of Allah. And I was busy clearing the misconception and the erroneous belief that many have in regard to the names of Allah being limited to 99. And that was clear, alhamdulillah, that the names of Allah are infinite. There's no number. There's no limited number. You cannot restrict the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah has knowledge of all the names that He has named Himself with. So now, Asma wa Sifat, the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now these are two terms which have a slight difference, as we will discuss as we go down. They have a slight difference, but what is most important is that we have to believe in all of the Asma and all of the Sifat. Asma means the names of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sifat means the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we go, you'll understand how important this is. We need to bring iman, we need to believe, we need to confirm, affirm all of these names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah, the Almighty Himself says in many places when He talks about His names, this is one of the ayat which we already discussed in the previous session, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى, that to Allah belongs the most beautifulest of names, فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا, invoke Him and supplicate Him using these names, وَذَعُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ, and stay away, do not keep company with those who blaspheme His names, سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, for they will be rewarded for what they have been doing. They will be recompensated for the sins that they have been doing. In another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I won't be translating all of the ayat, but just the main point in each ayah, that Allah says that the most beautiful of the names belong to Him. This ayah comes in Surah Al-Isra. قُلِ دِعُوا اللَّهَ أَغِدْعُوا الرَّحْمَانِ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. In Surah Taha, اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. In Surah Al-Hashr, هُوَ اللَّهُ الْخَالِقُ الْبَارِئُ الْمُصَوِّرُ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Four prominent places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the most beautifulest of names that belong to Him alone. Four prominent places. So these are the Quranic evidences in regard to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in regard to the sifat, the qualities and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And to Allah belongs الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, the best of attributes. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And He is the Almighty, Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. So if you were to take the word Al-Mathal, in general, in Arabic what Al-Mathal means, the meaning is a parable or an example. So how do scholars come to the conclusion that it means qualities and attributes here is by another evidence. For in general, the Quran interprets itself. In other places, some ayat interpret other ayat. That's how the Quran works. So in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ غَيْرِ آسٍ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَّبَنٍ لَّمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن خَمْرٍ لَّذَّةٍ لِّلشَّارِبِينَ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن عَسَلٍ مُّصَفًّى وَلَهُمْ فيها من كل الثمرات ومغفرة من ربهم كمن هو خالد في النار وسقوا ماء حميما فقطع أمعاءهم. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, مثل الجنة التي وعد المتقون. The same word, mathal. Allah is going to describe the Jannah which has been promised for the people of Taqwa. Mathalul Jannati allati wa'ida al-muttaqun. Here are some of the qualities of the Jannah that has been promised for those people of Taqwa. Number one, fiha anharun min ma'in ghayri asin. In those gardens, there will be rivers with pure water, crystal clear water. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَبَنٍ لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُ. There will be rivers of milk that its taste will never ever change. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن خَمْرٍ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ. There will be rivers of wine, the taste which will be so delicious. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن عَسَلٍ مُصَفًّى. And there will be rivers with pure honey, which will be soft as silk. Allah goes on to say, وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And for them will be the choice of various fruits, وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ, and the forgiveness of Allah, of their Lord. كَمَنْ هُوَ خَالِدٌ فِي النَّارِ. But on the other hand, as for the one who will be eternally abiding in Jahannam,
وسقوا ماء حميما. The only thing that will be given to drink for him would be boiling, scalding water that will burn through his intestines. Like how he will be abiding eternally in the hellfire, the people of taqwa will abide in the gardens of Jannah for eternities to come. So in this ayah, coming back to the point of mathal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same term, mathal, and the meaning here is the qualities. As we can see, mathalul Jannah, Allah talks about Jannah, and then he starts describing Jannah. So these are the qualities of Jannah. Likewise, in the early ayah that I mentioned, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. For Allah belongs the best of attributes. So these are the Quranic evidences in regard to Asma and Sifat. Now if someone were to ask, what is the difference between Asma and Sifat? What is the difference between the names of Allah and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The primary difference between the Asma and the Sifat of Allah is that the Sifat, the qualities of Allah, are more general than the Asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are more encompassing than the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we understand that? Examples make things more clear. So let me quote a few examples. We take the word sana in Arabic. Allah says in the Quran, sana'a Allahu alladhi atqana kulla shay'. Allah, sana'a means to make. Allah is the one who made every single thing. You see? So this is one of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So based on that, we cannot come to a conclusion, we cannot come to a decision that, okay, I can name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as-sani', the maker. Of course, there are other names that denote the same meaning. But this particular word, you cannot say Allah is as-sani'. Likewise, in another place Allah says, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim, that they are mocking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise Allah makes a mockery out of them. But based on that description, that quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot come to a definite conclusion and name him as mustahzi, a person who mocks, a person who makes fun of. You cannot name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as such. But yet, there is an attribute, there is a descriptive quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, if you were to take the ayah, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They are plotting. وَمَكَرُوا, the enemies of Allah are plotting. وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ, likewise, Allah is plotting. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners, is the best of plotters. But still, now this word makr is generally used in a very sly, in a very cunning form in Arabic. So based on that, we cannot come to a conclusion and name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as makir. It is wrong. You cannot name Allah as makir. Even though Allah says, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, that Allah is the best of plotters, we cannot name Allah as makir. So from this we understand that every name is encompassed in the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not every sifat can be used as a name. Every name is a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not every quality can be used as a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the slight difference in between the asma and the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every name, you say ar-Rahman, mercy. So that is a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahim, mercy. Quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denote a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not every quality can be used as a name for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the fine difference between asma and sifat, the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he mentions that Almighty Allah must not be described with anything except for that which he described himself with, or which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. We cannot come up with something that came into our heads and start describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The deen does not work like that. You have to either describe Allah using one of the names that he himself revealed to us, or in a descriptive quality that he himself revealed to us, or in a manner, in a fashion that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described Almighty Allah. We must never go beyond the Quran nor the Hadith in exaggerating or over describing Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, if you take the ayah, this is an ayah which had a lot of dispute around it. If you take the ayah, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa. The most beneficent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He rose over His throne. He rose over His throne. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions a statement in regard to this, but before that there is a hadith in support of this ayah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported as said, Wallahu fawqa al-arshi wa huwa ya'lamu ma antum alayhi. This hadith is recorded in Ahmad, Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah. That Almighty Allah is above the arsh, is above His throne. Wa huwa ya'lamu ma antum alayhi. And He knows what you all are up to. In other words, what you all are doing. And this hadith is recorded in Ahmad, Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah, like I mentioned. So this hadith and the Quran ayah both denote that Allah, the most beneficent, Ar-Rahman, is over the arsh. And how is He over the arsh? Now this, none of us know. He is over the arsh in a manner that befits His majesty. كَمَا يَلِيقُ بِشَأْنِهِ وَجَلَالِهِ He is over the arsh in a manner that befits His majesty and His grandeur. Now Imam Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, mentions in Mukhtasar al-Sawa'iq, he mentions that in the ayah, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Now in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the seven heavens and the seven earths, and He rose over the throne. And the ayah goes on to say, يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He knows every single thing that enters the earth, that comes out of the earth, that comes down from the heavens, and that ascends to the heavens. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And then the ayah says that Allah is with you wherever you are. Now isn't there a contradiction? Allah is above the throne, and now the ayah says Allah is with you wherever you are. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, like I mentioned in the book, he says that there is no contradiction whatsoever. There is no contradiction in the ayah that Allah is above the throne, and then coming a bit further, you see, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, that He is with you. He is not with you in a physical sense. He is with you with His knowledge. He knows each and every single thing that you are up to. Each and every single thing that you do in the darkness of the night. He knows that which takes place in the depths of the ocean. As you go deeper and deeper in the ocean, the more deeper you go where there is no light, where light cannot penetrate, everything is pitch black. Even the animals that live in that pitch black are all black. But still Almighty Allah knows each and every single organism, and He, it is through His permission, His irada, His will that every single thing takes place. So Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah beautifully clears that doubt. Likewise, in another place Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَنزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each and every night, this is in regard to the virtue of tahajjud, He comes down, He descends to the first heaven. See, none of us think of this great science of we do not attach enough importance to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the first heaven. So the question arose, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend? We do not know how Allah descends. كَمَا يَلِيقُ بِشَأْنِهِ. He descends in a manner that befits His majesty. And why is Allah descending? Because Allah is above the throne. And He descends each and every night to the first heaven. And Allah asks, is there no one asking forgiveness from me so that I can give him my forgiveness each and every night. So this hadith also denotes the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Nu'aym ibn Hammad al-Khuza'i, one of the teachers of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, one of the shaykhs of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, he says that if one were to compare Almighty Allah in any way to His creation, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ, he has rejected, he has disbelieved in Allah, he has committed kufr, he's out of the fold of Islam. If anyone were to compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to any of His creation. He goes on to say, and if one rejects what Almighty Allah has described Himself with, then he has also disbelieved. فَقَدْ كَفَرَ, then he has also disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has rejected Allah, he's out of the fold of Islam. He goes on to say, what Allah described Himself with, or what His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam described Allah with, does not involve any form of tashbih, any form of comparison. There is no form of comparison. In any of the descriptions of Rasulullah, in any of the descriptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down to us, there is no form of tashbih between Allah the Almighty and any of His creation. This is one of the principles in regard to the science of the names and attributes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are fine principles that many people, my dear respected elders, brothers in Islam, many people are ignorant of. But it is so important, it is so important, because we need to attach extreme importance to our beliefs and our aqeedah. Our aqeedah needs to be straight. It needs to be strong upon haqq, upon the truth. As we see, due to many of these logical rhetoric, many of these theological arguments, discussions, all of these stemmed deviant beliefs, erroneous beliefs in regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in regard to the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in regard to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of these deviant beliefs took many Muslims, many huge scholars out of the fold of Islam. These deviant beliefs. For example, if you were to take the belief of the Jahmiya, a deviant sect, it was a deviant group, they had the belief of Tamthil and Tashbih. I just mentioned the statement of the scholar, the Shaykh of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, in no way can we compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to any of His creation. Now this sect, this group, they had the belief of Tashbih, anthropomorphism. They, in other words, they began to attribute the qualities of human beings, of the creation, to the Creator. They started saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a face like us. Allah has two hands like us. Allah descends like us. Allah ascends like us. Some of them went further to say that we are all part of Allah. We are all part of the divine being. We are all attached to Him in some way. He blew into us from His ruh. These are all deviant beliefs out of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. In no way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all of that, my dear brothers and elders in Islam. Allah is free of all of that. Allah is free of being attached to His creation in any way whatsoever. If Allah mentions in the Quran that He has a face, then that face, when we say face, whatever comes to our head, when I say the word face, whatever comes to our head, Allah has something completely away from all of them that comes to our head. If Allah has two hands, as Allah says in the Quran, His hands are not the hands that come to our head. It is not that the hands that come to our head, the five fingers that we think of. That is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. As Allah is free from any tashbih, any tamthil to any of His creation. As Allah says in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there is nothing from His creation that is in comparison to Him, that you can say is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing on the face of this earth. This was one of the beliefs of one of the deviant sects. Other groups, such as Batiniya and Karamiya, there are a few other groups, they began to excessively make use of ta'wil. They started excessively using ta'wil. In other words, figurative interpretations. They started figuratively interpreting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say for example, I say, I take my hat off to you. I'm not wearing a hat, but I say I take my hat off to you. I can still say, even though I'm not wearing a hat, I can say I take my hat off to you. What do I mean by that? It is a sign of esteem, a sign of respect. See, that is a figurative element of speech. Likewise, if I say, you know what, the whole town is talking about you. If I say the whole town is talking about you, does not mean that the town has the faculties of speech. Does not mean that the town has got two lips and a tongue and starting to talk. What I'm meaning is, the inhabitants of that town have begun to talk about you. If I say, your nose is running, does not mean that your nose has grown a pair of legs and started running around the masjid. What it means is you've got a cold. Your nose is running. So these are figurative elements of speech, which is found in any language. Likewise, Arabic is a language. It has figurative elements of speech in different contexts. It is fine to make ta'wil in those contexts. But these groups went a step ahead and began making ta'wil every single place, everywhere. There were things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you can accept it at its face value. There is no need to make ta'wil. But these people began to make ta'wil for every single thing. You don't reject ta'wil completely, you need ta'wil. You need ta'wil. But you don't do it excessively. So these groups went astray, were deviant because of their beliefs in excessive usage of that particular tool. And in reality, this group actually came to the rescue. They came to the rescue to save those people who are absorbed in the belief I earlier mentioned. They came to the rescue and they themselves fell into another pit. And they went on so much to the extent that they began claiming, through their figurative speeches and rhetoric arguments, they began claiming that Allah is not present. In other words, Allah is not present, Allah is not existing. They say that Allah is not present, He's existing. Allah is neither absent, non-existing. They started saying things that did not make sense. They went overboard, fell into another pit, which led them astray. And this group, they began to affirm some of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They began to negate some of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mentioned the first rule, we accept all of the names of Allah and all of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They began to affirm some and negate some. For example, they started to negate the word Ar-Rahman, the word Ar-Rahim. Why? Because it is denoting mercy. And they began to say that that is too soft. Allah cannot be so soft. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself described, once they were coming after a war, Rasulullah described Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being 70 times more merciful than a mother. This was the description that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described our merciful Allah, our beloved Allah. How can we negate that? How can we negate that description? So if Allah says He is Ar-Rahman, He is the most beneficent. If Allah says Ar-Rahim, He is the most merciful. So be it, He is. We do not negate, we affirm and we confirm all of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there were other groups. One more belief of theirs was ta'til. I won't go into depth into that. Their belief was ta'til, where they used to, ta'til means they used to drop the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say none of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They negate all of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say that Allah is not capable of all of that. Al-iyadu billah, Allah forbid. They say if you say Al-Malik, then Allah is not capable of a kingdom. Allah is not capable of this. Allah is not capable of that. And their beliefs also took them astray. So my dear respected elders, brothers in Islam, the aqeedah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, like I mentioned in the beginning, the first principle, the first rule is that we accept all of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentions in Aqidatul Wasitiyah, just give me another few minutes and I'll wrap it up. He says that what is mentioned in the Qur'an and the Sunnah, this is in regard to the ayah where I said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the arsh and wa huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum, that Allah is with you. Shaykh al-Islam, he very clearly explains that in terms of Allah's closeness in Him being with us, does not contradict, does not negate what is mentioned in regard to His highness. I'm not saying your highness, no, not that highness. He's talking about the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not negate Allah being with us. Because Allah says, laysa kamithlihi shay, there's nothing similar to Him. And that is the truth, He says. That is the truth that applies to all of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He finally concludes that Allah is high. Allah is high in His nearness. And He is near in His highness. Allah subhanahu, don't get confused. Allah is high. Okay, Allah is high, but still near. Likewise, even though Allah is near, He's still high. Now just because He became near, now don't say, oh, Allah mingles with us. Allah physically mingles with us. Allah socializes with us. No. We need to draw the fine line over there. Allah is aware. Allah says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Allah says that we are closer to man than his jugular vein. Just imagine the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is so close. But still yet, Allah is high above us. These are the grand qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which need a lot of time to ponder and reflect on each and every one of them. So, finally, as a conclusive note, I was actually planning to go on to the name Allah itself today, but I'll conclude with Ismullahil A'zam. Few minutes more. Ismullahil A'zam, the greatest name of Allah, as this name is connected to the first name of Allah, the primary name of Allah, the asl, the source, which is Allah. Ismullahil A'zam, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith, إِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَاب. This is the greatest name of Allah. If anyone were to use it in his supplication, if any human were to supplicate with this name, Allah will accept the prayer immediately. وَإِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ, and if Allah is invoked by that name, no doubt أَعْطَى, He grants. He grants the dua. He grants the supplication. So what is this great name? From all of these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is this special and great name? Scholars have differed greatly because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give us a definite answer. Rule number one that we need to remember in this name is we cannot be a sinner and then lift our hands and use the Ismullahil Azam and then expect our dua to be answered. We need to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but still yet if this dua, if this name is used, it has a magical purpose and then your dua is answered. So there are many ahadith, and like I mentioned, scholars have differed greatly. But two mainstream opinions of two very famous scholars, and that is based on the hadith of Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, Ismullahil A'zam fi suwarin min al-Qur'an thalath, that the greatest name of Allah is in three surahs from the Quran. The greatest name of Allah. I hope you understand the magnanimity of the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This name is mentioned in three surahs. Fi al-Baqarah, fi Ala Imran, wa fi Taha. In three surahs. Now what are the ayat? In surah Baqarah, powerful name, you can use it, okay? In Baqarah, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. In surah Ala Imran, Alif Lam Mim.
الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم.
سورة طه.
وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم.
I hope I made my point. حي القيوم. Anyway, let's go to the mainstream opinions. Like I mentioned, two of them are there. Number one, that the ism is Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum, based on this hadith which I mentioned, and many, there are another few ahadith also which denote the same meaning. And this, I feel, is the correct opinion. And this is also the opinion of Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah Rahimahullah, Ibn Qayyim Rahimahullah, Ibn Kathir Rahimahullah, and An-Nawawi Rahimahullah. Giant. This is their opinion. And the other opinion is that the Ismul A'zam, the greatest name of Allah, is Allah. The greatest name of Allah is Allah. And how do they prove this? There are other ahadith in regard to that, and also they place a logical argument saying, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. You will never say that Allah, the name Allah is linked to the word Ar-Rahman, or the name Allah is linked to the word Ar-Rahim. But rather, all of the numerous names of Allah, inclusive the 99 names and all other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are linked to the word Allah. So the name Allah is primary. It is the source of all names. So naturally it has to be the Ismullah al-Azam, the greatest name of Allah. So this is their opinion. Many other scholars, other than the names that I mentioned, according to them it's Hayy al-Qayyum. But all others say that all of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are linked to one primary fountainhead, one primary source. So naturally that makes it the greatest name of Allah, through which any supplication is answered, any invocation is not turned back. So with that I conclude today's session, my dear respected elders, brothers in Islam. And we start with the name of Allah, the name Allah by itself, in the next session. So may Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the chance, give us the opportunity to reflect and ponder on all of His names, give us the knowledge of His names, and give us the chance to bring these names into our lives, the qualities that we can implement in our lives. And may Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our deeds. And may Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us to the highest levels of Jannah and unite all of us in His garden where we shall make merry. وآخر دعوايا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. For more lectures, visit slhub.com.